the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Hi, everybody. Nick Wright will join us in 10 minutes. Let's start with three NFL topics. Number one, and it's not the top topic of the day, but I watched a lot of the 49ers get hammered by Arizona and Colt McCoy. And if you did not watch that game, and most of America did not, what you saw is a hobbled Arizona team without their best run defender, J.J. Watt, without their top receiver, with a backup quarterback, go into San Francisco and out-scheme Kyle Shanahan. And there are tipping points in any relationship that is struggling. The Niners now cannot win home games as a favorite. And as you look around the division, and the Rams look better coached, certainly better quarterback, more stars, better on both sides of the ball and special teams, and Arizona similarly now wins again in the Bay Area, what's it look like? It looks like John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are a little over their skis. The game plan was noticeably rigid, and this has become something. If you're struggling, what you don't want to give the critics is a narrative they can grab onto. Cliff Kingsbury came out, very clever, very multiple trick plays. San Francisco, and this has now become a theme, very rigid, very conservative. And this is an offense that has one of the top three tight ends in football, George Kittle, one of the emerging stars at wide receiver, Deebo Samuel, a solid run game, and an above-average offensive line. There's no excuses here. Say what you want about Garoppolo. Look at Shanahan's record without Garoppolo. So now you have a theme building, a thread building against Shanahan. He's getting out-schemed by Kingsbury. He looks like his kind of intense, rigid personality is affecting Jimmy Garoppolo. But this was a really, really bad look for the 49ers. And the critics and the wolves are going to come out now. And McVay wowed us, then lost the Super Bowl to Belichick. Goff eroded. He was still winning, but he had to sort of reset with Matt Stafford. So we know it's not linear. We know that even great coaches have bad years. But what you're seeing now, I think Shanahan's intense personality is affecting the way Jimmy Garoppolo plays and the way the Niners call plays. And it's a bad look. My takeaway on Cleveland-Cincinnati. Sometimes we know things are true, and yet we struggle to embrace them. We know chemistry matters in sports, right? We know this. You ever go on a guy's trip to Vegas with four or five guys, six or seven guys, and one guy's a turd and ruins the trip? That's all it takes. We've all gone on camping trips, Vegas trips, golf trips. Just takes one guy who's snarky, little bit of an a-hole. It ruins it for everybody. We know that in professional sports, you can be really talented, but can do your team a disservice and chemistry a disservice. Kyrie Irving to the Celtics is a great example. How did that not work? Good coach, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown. How did that not work? Difficult guy, narcissistic guy. You're on the plane with him. You're at practice with him. There were a lot of stories. I talked to Ryan Russillo about this about a year ago. There are a lot of stories that didn't get reported how difficult Kyrie Irving was. So the OBJ to Cleveland thing. Diva, high maintenance, dramatic receiver, goes to a young quarterback in a dysfunctional organization. It doesn't work. And then data over 2 years suggests it doesn't work. Everybody push back. Can we have a new rule in sports? Bill Maher has his new rules. Here's my new rule. That great players can leave an organization and the organization gets better. High maintenance people. We know this in our own lives. You ever have a family get together at Thanksgiving and you got a weird brother-in-law and everybody's walking on eggshells and it's not as much fun? Same shit happens in sports. I thought Baker Mayfield played as free and as comfortable as he has in a year. And by the way, Donovan Peoples-Jones is a really, really nice young receiver out of Michigan, 6'2". Over the last 6 or 7 weeks, he's been open a lot if you're a Browns fan. He is a more than capable number two wide receiver to Jarvis Landry. And let's just stop pushing back on the belief or the understanding that sometimes you lose a great talent, but he doesn't work for the room. Dak Prescott was better when Dez left. Okay, new rule. It happens. Infrequently, but it happens. I'm going to save Green Bay and Kansas City for Nick Wright. I want to talk about Urban Meyer, who with arguably the worst roster in the NFL and a rookie quarterback beat a great head coach, a great roster, and a great quarterback in Josh Allen with the probably worst roster in the NFL. Folks, I put a wet blanket on it 6 months ago, a month ago. I'll put a wet blanket on it again. He's not going to USC. He's not going to LSU. He has been paid a fortune. He and his wife love Florida. They love that Jacksonville area. And now, I am not saying after 2 years, if Urban won two games this year and four next year, and just it didn't work, I could see him saying, you know, I love Trevor Lawrence. I want to get the right coaches in here. I'm done. You know, give me 75% of the money promised. I get it. It would look too weird for him to leave after 1 year. Secondly, look at Brian Flores right now in Miami. They have a much better roster. They are struggling. We love Joe Judge in New York. He is struggling. By and large, you're about as good as your roster. Jacksonville's roster is terrible. And this idea, and I've talked about this before, there are so many people that cover the NFL that were so opposed to Urban Meyer walking in and succeeding early, that he really entered with an anti-Urban agenda from a good portion of the NFL writers. I don't know how successful he's going to be, but folks, it's not science. It's football coaching. Buddy Ryan won a lot of games. Mike Ditka won a Super Bowl. These aren't geniuses. Belichick's mom spoke seven languages. He's different and therefore has dominated the league for 20 years. But the average football coach, for anybody listening to me who's a successful professional, education, law, anything, had you taken up coaching, you would be as smart as a football coach, or perhaps smarter. This idea that Urban was going to be overwhelmed by it. My concern with Urban Meyer was a simple one. Can he build a staff? Because I think there were a lot of doubts in NFL circles. Is this guy a good fit? A lot of these college guys have failed. So I don't love his offensive staff. But this idea yesterday, Sean McDermott, Bills, Josh Allen, folks, there's an argument to be made. That's the best team in the AFC. And Urban Meyer beat him with a rookie quarterback and a lousy roster. Urban may not work, but we wouldn't give a quarterback eight games and bail on him. Why would we give a coach building a culture eight games? Just be reasonable. Just be fair about it. All right, here's my buddy Nick Wright. So let's start with this. Let's start with Jordan Love's performance. I want your takeaway on what you watched from Jordan Love in his first official big boy start.
Well, I think we have to be fair to Jordan because we're now learning that, you know, the three-time or two-time defending AFC champion Chiefs, it's basically Steel Curtain 2.0 on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, did you see? I don't know if you watched Daniel Jones today. Just dice, slice and dice the Raiders. Made him look awful, pedestrian.
Yeah.
The Titans scored 0 second half points in a game against us just a few weeks ago. So I don't know. I mean, now if you don't think the Chiefs have a historically great defense, as all the data suggests they might, here's what I was worried about, Colin. Everyone on Friday was just crushing Aaron Rodgers as he deserved to be crushed, and that was before the McAfee interview. And the very last words I said on my show were, you know, he's probably going to get the last laugh in this thing because Jordan Love is going to come out, look awful and overwhelmed, and he's going to get to say, bleep you, told you so, that's the guy you drafted to replace me. Jordan Love, Colin, I know it's his first start, but he's been in the league a year and a half.
I know.
He's not supposed to look that bad. One other thing to remind the audience, sorry, but last year we got a hint of this because he was not the backup last year. He was inactive, if you remember, on game days all year long. He was third string.
Yep.
So he shouldn't have looked that bad. He's not supposed to look that bad.
Yeah, people always point to Josh Allen, who we know coming out of college was sort of a wild pony, you know, bursting out of the barn. I would like to throw up to you Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow and Mac Jones, who have looked very good very quickly. So, you know, people love to use examples that benefit them, but my concern was also how Kansas City defended him. What Kansas City was telling you after about three series is, we have no respect for him. We're going to blitz him every second big third down.
He can't read the defense pre-snap.
That's right.
He's not allowed to change plays or something. And poor Troy Aikman. I thought Troy Aikman was going to jump out of the booth at the one play where, he didn't throw a pick on this play, but it was a big play late in the game. And Troy says before the snap, all right, so they're telling you there's no one in the middle of the field. There's no one in the middle of the field. And then he throws down the sideline, the near sideline.
Yeah.
And then on the replay, Troy says, the thing is, when there's no one in the middle of the field, you should throw to the middle of the field. Like Troy was trying to be gentle, but he's supposed to look better. He just is supposed to look better. And I'm kidding about the Chiefs defense, obviously. Chiefs defense isn't good.
No.
Like, they might not be the worst in football like they were the first month of the year, but he was supposed to look better than that. And the Packers were supposed to win that game. Chiefs offense looked terrible. I know we'll get to it. Packers supposed to win that game, and they didn't.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell a lot by how a team calls a game. Green Bay and Matt LaFleur, very risk averse. You can tell a lot about a quarterback by how a defense plays him, and both told you he's very, very limited a year and a half in. So that's not great. Now, there are late bloomers in this. I mean, you know, we know there are some late bloomers, but I didn't really see anything. I mean, he's not as athletic or move around guy like Russell or Kyler. His arm is okay. It's not special. You know, he's got a big body. He moves pretty well, but I didn't see anything special. Now, I say that about Tua, but I think Jordan's a bigger, more athletic guy than Tua. I'm not talking about a completely, ineffective, small, average arm. Jordan's got some gifts. But, you know, people remember this. His last year in college, a lot of mistakes. A lot of the GMs I talked to.
And small school, which I'm not a huge fan of.
Yep.
And again, here's the thing about exceptions. There are exceptions for a reason. We can't pretend, we can't talk about all the trends Josh Allen broke and then use that as a, well, Josh Allen did it. It's the same thing in the NBA when it's like, if you don't have a top five player, you can't win the title. And everyone's like, oh, the 04 Pistons. What about the 04 Pistons? It's like, yeah, man, there's a reason you still have to go back for the only time in 30 years it's been true was the 04 Pistons.
Also, Nick, when people use Josh Allen, yes, but he was 6'6 with a cannon arm, which Jordan Love's not that big or didn't have that arm, and he was hurdling people. You go to YouTube and look up Josh Allen's first eight games. He was hurdling linebackers. So
they could have used that today, by the way, getting beat by the Jaguars. Oh, oh, the Bills. Oh, the big scary Buffalo Bills. Hello, Josh Allen MVP. Oh, scary Bills. Lose the Jags.
All right, Monday night matchup. FanDuel Sportsbook's about to make it even bigger because FanDuel's given new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can end the NFL week right by winning $150 on a $5 bet. Listen, FanDuel Sportsbook is the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use, safe, fast payouts. Plus, here's the thing. When you win, you get paid in as little as 24 hours. Sign up now, promo code COLIN this week. Win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use the promo code COLIN, COLAN, so they know I sent you, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, or West Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Jersey, and Virginia. Or call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Redline is 1-800-889-9789. Or go to 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Or call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. Kansas City's interesting, and you see this sometimes. You know, you see these Hollywood couples, and you're like, oh, she's beautiful and smart, and he's handsome and smart. This should work. And then 18 months later, it's a barnyard musical. We know Andy Reid's smart. Mahomes is great. Spag's been a good DC, excellent weapons. Travis Kelce, although he had a couple drops today. A lot of these pieces we know are exceptional. We've seen them. And people say, well, Sammy Watkins isn't here, and that's the difference. And I'm like, nah, it's not.
It's not, because, by the way, Watkins was injured 2/3 of the time before. It would be nice to have a secondary receiver, but that's not the answer here.
So when you watch them, you know, Greg Cosell told me about 2 weeks ago, he said he's going to be much harder to coach than Justin Herbert because he has an inclination, and this was the knock on him out of college. He likes the home run. He likes the big hit. He's not overly patient. Mechanically, some of his great gifts come when the mechanics erode, you know, the sidearm stuff.
Yep.
What do you see as somebody that watches every snap, reads everything about the Chiefs? What? Let's not talk defense, because I did think with Clark on the defensive line, they're better. Let's talk offense. What is wrong?
He's second guessing himself, and he's pressing, and he, I mean, the first month of the year when the Chiefs were 2-2, they had a turnover and defense problem, but all the smart numbers were the best offense in football, bar none.
Yes.
The last five games, Colin, they have been held under 21 four times.
Wow.
Up until the last five games, in Mahomes' whole career, it happened three times. Think about that. His whole career, he had been, as of a month ago, he'd been held under 21 three times. The last five games, it's happened four times. He is missing open guys. He's skipping passes. Today, he didn't run the ball once. He would didn't get out of the pocket running. So I think he suffered some bad luck turnover wise early.
Yeah.
And that made him start kind of second guessing a bit. And then even when he was trying to be more conservative, he still made a couple terrible mistakes. And now it feels like instead of playing every single play, you can see the wheels turning, which is why Rodgers, to his credit, oddly enough, on the last interview he did before all the vaccine stuff came out, the COVID stuff came out, he was on McAfee and they asked him about Mahomes struggling. And Rodgers, you know, said, hey, absolutely, quarterbacks can get the yips. Can get in a slump. And he's like, and sometimes it just takes one game, one drive. He said, sometimes it just takes one play to get out of it. And so maybe I'm, you know, hopelessly optimistic, but I wonder if that 3rd and 10 game on the line today, that looked very Mahomes.
Yes.
Oh, it's broken down. I'm rolling to the right. And I'm certain he was told before that play, the only thing we can't have is an incompletion. If it's easy, take it. If not, take the sack. Because the sack, the clock runs, you're punting to Jordan Love with a minute 15. The only thing we can't have is an incompletion. And he still ran out to the side, one leg, zipped it to Tyreek. That was a Mahomes play. And I do wonder if that gets him back to it. So I think because he hasn't been himself, he's been the last month, he's been bad. And it's the first time in his career. Forget being bad. It's the first month of football. He hasn't been outstanding. I'm going to add one other thing. And I want to be gentle with this because I don't know this to be true. I'm just going to present the evidentiary case. So in the last month, his mom has tweeted about Tyreek dropping the football. His brother has been in the news twice.
Yeah.
For stupid stuff. His wife, who they're like grade school sweethearts, been together forever, seems to be very into TikTok and posting videos with Patrick in them. And Patrick doesn't it's kind of semi, you know, internet famous now of Patrick, yeah, just trying to eat some chips and salsa, and his wife and brother doing some TikTok dance. So all that plus new parent, right? Plus for the first time in your career, not playing great. I think it's a lot to deal with.
Yep.
I think all of those things, it's like, you know, my family is famous because of me and they're being a pain in my ass right now with my fame, but these are the people you love most in the world. So what are you going to do? You're going to tell your wife, your mom, you know, to stop doing stuff. You can probably tell your brother, but nobody, his brother's a teenager, a young 20s kid. Like, his brother's not going to listen to anybody. He's a doofus like we all were when we were that age, right? That's not a criticism. So all that's going on. He's not playing great. And I don't know, probably sleeping less than the other hours in life because you have a new baby, you have a new kid. Like, that's a thing. And so I think all of this coming at once has led to him not being himself the last month. I don't think it's a, I still think that he is unanimous that if you were to start a new league and every player would be available, I think all 32 GMs take him first. I still believe that.
Yeah.
But he's got to be better.
By the way, Josh Allen struggled. Brady 2 weeks ago struggled. The shit's hard. By the way, Jalen Hurts in the last couple of weeks has been sort of fascinating and interesting. Let's not bail on him. So, you know, another team,
the Chiefs defense shut down, by the way. Oh. Steel Curtain 2.0. Yeah, Eagles shut him down.
So, I mean, I think you're right on, by the way, but I do think we have to say there has to be a pause. This stuff is really hard.
It's really hard. Can I ask a question, though, about the NFL right now?
Yeah.
Is anyone in the AFC good? Like, that's kind of what, like, who's good?
It's a great
question. Buffalo's A game is the best. We know that.
Yeah.
But Buffalo last week looked like shit. It was 3-3 at half against Miami. They looked bad last week.
Right.
And this week they lost a game that you can't lose.
Right.
You just can't lose to the Jags. The Patriots are just feasting. How many awful quarterbacks do they get to play? It's unbelievable what they've done.
You know what it is? Because the NFC has veteran quarterbacks. It's Stafford.
Yeah.
It really is. It's Rodgers.
It's all veteran quarterbacks and Kyler.
Right.
It's all veterans and Kyler.
In the AFC, it's all brilliant young quarterbacks.
Young guys.
And they are brilliant. But guess what? Peyton Manning year 4 was awful in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
So you're seeing this roller coaster. Okay, now let's segue into the Aaron Rodgers stuff. So, everybody knows my assertion with Aaron, which has always been he's a narcissist, he's into Aaron, he's pretty selfish. When you can't get along with multiple members of your family, I've always been really skeptical. And his comments about, you know, I'm a critical thinker, as if anybody that gets a vaccine, you're not a critical thinker. The idea that he gave 500 pages of anti-vax and ineffective mask, that is weird. Like, and he was asked what the NFL thought, and he said, well, they thought it was a whack. Yeah, Aaron.
Yeah.
That's what people do on that have 9 followers on Twitter and have a name like Jack with 13 numbers behind it. Like, the people that think they've got the secret remedy.
It's just incredibly arrogant,
Kyle. Yeah, yeah.
It's just incredibly arrogant. The idea, and this isn't just Aaron, it's a lot of folks, but folks that think, I mean, here's what I would ask. Pardon me here. The fuck do you think people are doing for 8 years in medical school? Playing Candy Crush? Like, these folks that are acting like, I've solved it. Well, what'd you do? I dedicated a weekend. You dedicated a weekend? These poor suckers are doing 40-hour rotations or in a lab or conducting experiments. And it's just, I would never... And it's so odd that people have gone this route on science and medicine. Could you imagine if I went, I don't even know what a good comp is, but I go to the mechanic and I'm like, hey, you rebuilt that engine wrong. How do you know? I watched a YouTube video. What? Like, no, he's an expert. He's trained. I just can't believe the arrogance of guys. And let me say something else about it real quick. If Aaron Rodgers actually thought he had discovered something about vaccines, it's incredibly selfish to not share it with the world. Like you've cracked something, evidently. You tell everyone. Don't be cagey. Oh, I'm immunized. I didn't want to say. If you've uncovered one of the greatest conspiracies in the history of modern America, you should let the world know. But I don't know.
There's also coding. When somebody says, like Aaron, I don't care what anybody thinks, that is code for I care what everybody thinks. And Aaron has always been super sensitive, so he's gone into hiding now. By the way, I think this is being lost. The Packers no longer have the number one seed in the NFC. Arizona does. They will not have the number two seed if the Rams win. And by the way, a dome team A dome team, Rams, and a warm weather team, Tampa, could have played in January in Lambeau, a significant break for Green Bay. If they lose, so they don't have the number one seed, nor right. perhaps the two yeah. seed. If they lose against Seattle when Aaron can't practice, they're then behind Tampa. They're a four seed.
By the way, they're going to be behind Tampa. Tampa's scheduled the rest of the way. They have one team left that you expect to make the playoffs, the Bills. Another game against New Orleans, maybe they will. The third toughest game left for Tampa is Atlanta. And it's unbelievable. I thought you might lead with this, Colin. The biggest winner this weekend of every football player in the world was Tom Brady. He didn't play. Think about it. He's coming off a bad game. But think about Brady and the MVP. All right, well, Josh Allen just was awful. And they lost to the Jags, turned the ball over a bunch. Derrick Henry's done for the year. Dak Prescott was terrible. Aaron Rodgers missed a game. Kyler missed a game, and his team won. Lamar, they won. Lamar wasn't great. Brady, all of a sudden, I think has to be the overwhelming MVP favorite. And with the Cowboys losing and the Packers losing, I think the Rams and Cardinals, I think that schedule for both of them is tough enough that you've got to think Tampa. I feel like Tampa right now, worst case scenario, is 13-4. And it looks like Brady's going to be the MVP and Tampa's going to be the one seed. It's unbelievable. The Bucs don't play this weekend and they're the biggest winners. And Brady's MVP hopes skyrocket this week. All the other MVP candidates plummet. Rodgers missed time. Rodgers can't win it now, even though he looks more like an MVP now than before. Because you saw the Packers without him. No one's going to vote for Rodgers after this. He misses time because of this nonsense.
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, I talked about, I was on with Ethan Strauss the other day. He's a,
he's
real smart, thoughtful. I don't view him as contrarian, but he has a lot of different views on stuff. In fact, included covering the NBA. But, you know, we were talking about a lot of things and, you know, he makes me think. And when I was done with the podcast, I went and put something on, you know, my phone for the volume, and that one of the great pieces of advice I once got in my life is there's enough hurdles and obstacles to overcome. Don't get in the way of yourself. Yeah, it's hard enough to overcome the challenges. I really think Aaron has gotten in the way of himself. And Bill Simmons mentioned this to me the other day, is when you get older and you're single, you don't sacrifice for your kids, you don't sacrifice for a wife, being married, having kids, it's a lot of L's. It's a lot of take one for the team. Combine that with Aaron is in the smallest market in America for a pro sports team, so he is a messiah. Combine that with they have no owner to call him on his shit. And that Aaron's gotten into a world where it's Aaron does what Aaron wants, Aaron says what Aaron wants, Aaron has no pushback. And I think he's starting to sort of get in his own way a little bit.
Well, listen, I said this on the show, I think on Thursday, I'm not sure when, and I don't know if you heard it when you were driving in, but I said, I was like, man, Colin's been on this corner for the better part of a half decade, that Aaron Rodgers has an allergy to criticism, and him doing these gymnastics about immunized and the masking at press conferences, all for one express purpose, avoiding criticism, is all the proof you possibly needed that you were right about that. And, you know, and I've gone to battle with you about the Aaron stuff, but this whole thing is such a rough look for him. And listen, I obviously think that folks who can be vaccinated should be.
Yeah.
However, the quarterbacks who have chosen not to, it's been a one day if that story. Then you move on. Kyrie was a big story because it cost him his season. But in the NFL, those guys have not been. Lamar hasn't been crushed for this. Kirk Cousins, we made fun of him for a little bit because he was talking about like building plexiglass rooms and stuff. But aside from that, that was it. But Aaron didn't even want to deal with that. And it is, to me, all of it shows it does give you a window, and it's not a flattering one. And on the field, if folks want to, you know, don't care about any of the vaccine stuff, just on the field, with the way the Chiefs offense looked today, does anyone think if Aaron Rodgers is out there, the Packers aren't 8-1 right now?
Yeah.
Does anybody think that? And he's not, they weren't, and now they're in, you know, it's an uphill battle. And they likely will have one playoff game in Lambeau this year, and that's it.
You know, it was interesting. We know the Patriots dynasty, they often were a much better post-Thanksgiving team than a pre-Thanksgiving team. And the Cleveland Browns, I thought Baker and the Browns played the best football game they've played in a year. This is not to dump on OBJ, but we know that you can have great players and they don't work in the room. Kyrie to the Celtics, they should have been absolutely in the finals. Kyrie, Tatum, Marcus Smart, Brad Stevens, Jaylen Brown, they had a little bit of size and they got worse. We know this to be true. The data suggests Dak was better when Dez left. He could sprinkle the infield. Baker's better than OBJ left. I did feel like watching Cleveland, I felt like, oh, this may be just one of those. Doesn't mean OBJ's a bad guy, but he was hovering over the franchise. And he's now out of the room. And Donovan Peoples-Jones is more, 6'2", runs well, more than capable to be a tandem with Jarvis Landry.
I think, listen, it clearly didn't fit. It clearly didn't work. And the Browns got a nice reprieve. Because if the Browns lost this week, then everything's falling in Cleveland. Instead, they win. And it's important who they played, right? The Bengals, who you used to make the point, you weren't wrong, that Baker owns the Bengals and is terrible against a lot of, you know, the rest of the division, other teams. But now the Bengals are good. And you still own the Bengals. You still kick the hell out of them up and down the field. And I know Baltimore ended up getting the win, but you look at it and you're like, okay, none of the teams in this division are great. You now, the Cincinnati, after the high they were on, they have come crashing back down to earth. And the Browns feel like, okay, we get a nice reprieve from all the drama, and we'll see how we look in the next few weeks. Odell, on the other hand, Odell does have the chance, not at the same level, but to have, and I've talked about this a ton, the Randy Moss trajectory. Amazing in his first stop, goes sideways at the end, goes somewhere else, is almost irrelevant the whole time he's there, and then a great next act of his career. But if he doesn't have, like, if wherever Odell picks to go, it doesn't work, things can go left real quick now. A guy had suffered a couple major injuries, a guy that's a pain in the ass. Now, I think he'll be smart and he will pick based on quarterback and he will pick a team that he believes is going to be in the postseason and he can go show the world he's still excellent. But if his next team, it doesn't work, then that's just a squandered talent is what he'll be remembered for. Like you don't usually get a fourth chance, right? So this will be his third chance. You don't usually get a fourth. So Odell's got a big, which is why he gave the way he had the contract restructured. He just wanted to not be claimed, meaning he doesn't want Washington to pick him up and him be like, oh my God, what am I going to do? He wants to be able to pick his spot, but he better pick right and it better work out because it's been a long time since people saw Odell Beckham Jr. do something amazing on the football field. And there have been a few controversies since then that people won't have time for.
Okay. Only two things I wanted to talk about. Packers, Chiefs, a little Browns. So I'm going to give you the choice of these two NBA topics because I'll never bring you on not talk NBA.
Yeah.
I watched working out. I didn't watch it live. I got up and lift weights on the morning, on the weekend, and watched Russell Westbrook, who was absolutely horrifically bad against Portland.
It's not good.
Or not good. James Harden.
Yeah, let's talk about that one.
Okay, so it's interesting. So I'm old enough to remember the NBA changing several rules for Wilt. The free throws, the zone defense, wide lane. This has happened my whole life. The NBA used to be able to hand check, and then they said it's too physical. You used to be able to put your forearm into a guy's back. The NBA has changed. It's almost like the IRS. If they see big companies finding a loophole, they close it. And then the big companies find another loophole and they close it again. And I feel like James Harden had found a loophole in the rules. And the league's like, nah, we're not going to allow this.
Yep.
That's what it feels like to me. And by the way, I have watched the Nets play four times. Not a full game, but probably four halves. James Harden now is a passive player. He went from like ball-centric, his ball usage was through the roof. I mean, there are times he disappears on the floor.
It's unbelievable. And so, to be fair, it should be noted, while everyone was watching football today, the Nets played. They played the Raptors. And Harden had, I think, far and away his best game of the year. And he was excellent in the fourth quarter. He, for the first time all year, it was on, you know, during the late window of games. So I saw the tail end of the game while I was watching the Chiefs game and the Cardinals game. And by the way, shout out to the Cardinals, getting that, dominating the Niners, no Kyler Murray. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So Harden was good today, but he was awful Friday. And prior to today, this is what jumps out to me. And I tweeted the numbers, but he has not only stopped getting to the free throw line, which we talked about. He had one game where he took 19 free throws. Every other game this year prior to today, it was four or fewer. Today he got six. But it wasn't just that, Colin. He stopped taking or making two-point baskets. Prior to today's game on the season, he had 19 made twos and 44 turnovers. He had more than twice as many turnovers than two-point field goals. And so I do think he's a little out of shape, and I do think he's a little overweight, and I do think he's still a little unsure about the hamstring, all of that. But what's also clearly true is, and this is the part that people, I think, are not baking into the Harden stuff when they talk about, well, he'll adjust. Yes, he will adjust. But part of what made him so great at getting to the basket was people were afraid to foul him. So they guarded him a specific way. Now that people are less afraid to foul him, it's not just that he's not getting the calls. He's having a harder time beating guys because they are guarding him more honestly. That's not going to change. That isn't going to adjust.
Right.
And Harden has to be like a fringe MVP level guy for them to win the title.
No question.
KD's been the best player in the league so far this year. KD has been sensational basically every game. He's playing almost perfect offensive basketball. And the team is not great because even with KD playing at this level, Blake Griffin looks old fast. He looks like Detroit Blake Griffin. Paul Millsap was never going to make sense. Aldridge was never going to make sense. They need Harden. And they don't need Harden at 19 and 10. They need Harden at 26 and 11.
Yep.
And I don't know if that Harden is going to exist again. I just don't. I do not know if that Harden is going to exist under these rules. Just like, by the way, John Lynch. Would he have been a Hall of Fame level safety if he was drafted today? Probably not. Don't hold it against him. Rules change. Players change. But I don't think Harden is a top eight guy in the league right now, and they have to have him.
Remember, Harden was a late bloomer anyway. Harden started on the bench. Harden was a player. He's 32 or 33 now, and he's really only been great for about 6 years. In our world view, he should be like 28 now, right? Like,
correct.
When you see the great players come out, they're rocky the first year, and then you're like, I mean, even Jordan Poole, you're like, he's 16 and a half a game. Now, he's not close to, I don't think, Harden. But this is a league, especially now with the rules, where if you're offensively gifted, you're really good by 23. You're exceptional by 25. I mean, Luke is better than everybody, but you can dominate at 21, 22, 23. So Harden was a late bloomer. So I don't think he's athletically as vertical or as gifted as your Kobe's and your Michaels, even though his numbers would line up with theirs. He had a style. The NBA allowed the style. They have now eliminated the style. And he's not a world-class athlete in the context of the other great scorers.
Correct. And it's so, like, he is, again, I don't, hold this against him legacy wise that he was exploiting seems unfair. But he understood the rules. He was playing by the rules, and he was exploiting in a positive way the rules. And it made him, he was, the 3 years he won the scoring title in Houston, and he averaged like 30, 36, and 34, those 3 years. He was shooting combined 25 threes and free throws a game.
Incredible.
Thereabouts. So he just, he with Morey, understood, all right, the most efficient thing you can do other than dunk the basketball, which I can't really do, like obviously you can dunk, but I'm not, you know, I'm not above the rim guy, is get to the free throw line and shoot threes. So what if that's all I do? What if that's all I do? And it was unguardable. It was unbelievable. But now it's guardable. And it to me is one of the most fascinating things. The reason the Lakers thing is this. Very little happens with the Lakers when LeBron's not there matters. The question is LeBron now injury prone? If he is, they're screwed.
Yep.
Like, and by the way, people, and I said this on the TV show on Friday as well, but I want to reiterate it here. Whenever we talk about the greatest players ever, people think I'm needling Jordan because I call Jordan an, without a doubt, top three guy.
Right.
And people think I'm needling him. And it is a bit of a needle, but the reason I say top three is because I feel like Kareem is the most historically disrespected guy ever.
He is.
He has the most points. He has the most MVPs. He has six rings, just like Jordan, all that stuff. But the other thing about Kareem is he never got hurt. He punched Kurt Benson in the face that one time, broke his hand. Aside from that, in year 20, he's playing 74 games. He never got hurt. Look at his game log. Now, he's not as effective. He's not at a high level, but he never got hurt. Jordan played 11 full seasons with the Bulls, was out of there.
Yeah.
Like, just gone. I'll see you later. As far as, like, injury-free full seasons. That there is no – what LeBron is trying to do in year 19, there is no comp for it. The closest is Karl Malone year 18. And we are going to see if he can make it through. If he can make it through him plus Anthony Davis and what I think right now is a very up-for-grabs West, like the Warriors – I know you're super high on them. Warriors could be the favorites right now in the West. Who knows? I think the Lakers could be fine. And we'll see, Colin. LeBron's not afraid to, you know, press reset on an experiment. I don't think they'll do that. But, you know, famously, the Cavs did trade Dwayne Wade away. Like, they had Dwayne Wade, and then they're like, see you later, buddy. It's not working. You can go back to Miami. So if the Russ thing doesn't get better, I think they'll make a move. But the question for the Lakers is LeBron going to be healthy for the postseason? If he is, I like their chances. But it's fair to say now, a guy who never got hurt. Colin, I watched him, what I thought was break his ankle during a playoff game with the Cavs, tighten his shoelaces, miss a possession, finish the game. In the finals, the game seven against the Warriors, when he went up for what would have been the greatest dunk in NBA history, up three, and Draymond fouled him, I'm convinced this day he broke his wrist and Wolverined that son of a bitch. Like, I can't have a broken wrist right now. It was fine. He never was injured. And then he tore his groin. And then last year, he messed up his ankle. And now this year, he's already had two little dings.
Yep.
So it's something to watch. Like, it doesn't change the fact that I think he's the greatest player that's ever lived. But it does change the math on can the Lakers win the title.
Nick Wright. A lot of Packers, Chiefs, little Browns, Harden, LeBron. Perfect, buddy. Have a great show tomorrow.
Yeah. No problem. And by the way, the next time we talk, Chiefs will be in first place, buddy. Oh, yeah. Let's go. First place on the line against the Raiders. Let's go.
All right, buddy. All right. That's Nick Wright at The Volume Sports Instagram, YouTube channel. Check it out. Think you'll like it. Talk soon. Volume.